nobody does it the same. But some of that is just a reflection. I'm lost, but I've got no direction. All right, this is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show. We're live on the radio, broadcast from a place called the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, BC, on the station CITR. And you might be listening in on the internet, CITR.ca, wherever you are in the world. And this we've been away for a couple of weeks. My apologies, circumstance out of my control. There was sports broadcast last week. And they're broadcasting again this week at 7 o'clock. So we have a truncated show. It's an hour. And plenty of great stuff to get through because we have a special guest in the studio. She'll be in about 15 minutes or so time. Her name's Jennifer Zilm. And she is a poet, which is awesome. I've had two poets on now. Jennifer's the second. And the first experience was wonderful. That was Mariner Janes, a local poet, and Jennifer is also Vancouver based, and she's brought in her copy of her chapbook, The Whole and Broken Yellows, Van Gogh Poems and Other Stories, so poems inspired by the life of Van Gogh, his letters in particular to his loved ones, and she'll be reading a poem or two from that chapbook. And talking about her upcoming reading that's happening at Cottage Bistro in Vancouver next Tuesday night. So wonderful to have a poet in the studio, and we'll chat with her in a little while, and starting in about 15 minutes. But regular listeners know we always play older music up front. And today, I really was hoping to get to this band a couple of weeks back before their reunion show in the city, but because of those two shows that I wasn't able to attend due to conflicts here on the schedule, there wasn't time. But the band I'm talking about is the Enigmas, wonderful band from the 80s here in Vancouver, featuring Paul McKenzie on vocals, who is otherwise known as the singer from the Real McKenzies. So the Enigmas were kind of like the missing link of the Vancouver punk scene. They were around, you know, they formed after the main thrust of the punk movement had begun, but before the mid-90s era of Slow and bands like that and the Pointed Stick. No, actually, let me think. The Pointed Sticks were before that. Anyway, I'm still getting my head around the musical history of this city. But the Enigmas were a big part of it for a few years there. And they reformed for a special one-off gig a couple of weeks back at the Wise Hall, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. Thanks to Janice McKenzie from the station for recommending the show. So I'm going to play for you a few tracks from the Enigmas, starting up with the single Teenage Barnacle, which was from a record called, I think it's it was their debut, self-titled, The Enigmas, from 1983. So let's get into it, and then we'll play a few tracks for the Enigmas, and then we'll be back to talk with Jennifer Zilm. We'll be right back.
and you're listening to CRTR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right, here we are back. This is a show called Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show. And a throwback there to the early 80s with a legendary band from the city of Vancouver called the Enigmas. The Enigmas had a reunion show a couple of weeks back at the Wise Hall. And honestly, it was one of the best shows I've seen for live rock and roll. Paul McKenzie, the singer, was just brilliant. I mean, he's got such presence and he put every little inch of his strength into it, and this is a true veteran, a true stage performing veteran, and the band was tight and brilliant. So thanks again, Janice McKenzie, a longtime member of the station and board chair. She was raving about the Enigmas some time ago, actually, to me, before this reunion was even announced. So thanks, Janice. So I played for you three tracks from the band, going right back to 1983. We played Teenage Barnacle, that was recorded in April of 1983, here in Vancouver at Profile Studios. And then we heard two tracks from the record Strangely Wild, and that came out in 1985. So we played for you Flying Dutchman and Windshield Wiper. Again, the band is called the Enigmas. I wonder if they're going to play again. I damn well hope so, because it reinvigorated me for live music. Thanks, guys. So we have a very special guest in the studio. She's going to be right up after this message.
When do I talk? I'll tell you. Get ready for the start of the biggest, bluest celebration yet. From January 20th to January 24th, you can come out to Science Week 2014, a five-day celebration of the best faculty at UBC. Come out to our awesome events, buy the latest science swag, represent your department in the science-wide games, and share your science pride all week long. Bring your friends, make some new ones, and bleed blue with the science student community. You won't want to miss out.
Okay, welcome back. This is CITR Radio, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show. You can find us online at ausstrandedradio.com, and we're also on Twitter at ausstranded. Now, Jennifer Zilm has entered the studio. She is a local poet, and she'll be presenting poems from her latest book at the Cottage Bistro in Vancouver next Tuesday night. Hello, Jennifer. Thanks so much for coming all this way. You're poet number two on the show. I'm hoping to make this a bit of a thing now. It's such a great thing to change the subject matter here and hear some wonderfully put together words from a real poet.
Real.
You are
real. No, but what's real, right?
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, I was thinking before, like, I'm like most people in this society now whose brains have been just ruined by the rationalistic way we've been educated, that we find it very hard to read or write poetry. So that's what I'm saying.
That's true. And I often find that people will say they don't understand poetry. And I don't fight that, but you don't need to understand things.
That's right. Always. This is a right brain thing, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just wanted to put it out there, and that's why I said real poet, because there is a skill to what you do, and so many of us are, we feel bad about ourselves because we think we don't understand it. But anyway, this will be really interesting to hear what you say about your poems here. What actually is your background in poetry? Because I know you first and foremost as an academic, really, in studying of world religions. How does poetry fit into your life?
As you I may have told you, I grew up in Surrey. And when I was 14, I decided that I was going to become a poet. And Surrey can lend itself to that sort of mentality, I think. I spent a lot of time at the Surrey Public Library doing things like that, and Newton and all that beloved place. And then I initially started studying writing in English in my undergraduate degree, but then I kind of got obsessed with studying the Bible, even though I wasn't religious. So I continued writing, and I published sort of sporadically, but I was focusing on doctoral work in biblical studies and the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then I decided not to finish my dissertation and to focus more exclusively, I guess more exclusively is not a real word, but let's just say more exclusively anyways, on poetry. And I enrolled in SFU's Writer Studio program, which is quite intensive and quite magical and wonderful, and I was in their poetry cohort in 2013.
Oh, so this is relatively recent, yeah, because honestly, I had no idea. Like, I saw this pop up on Facebook, and it's like, oh, wow. And actually, when did she do this? Because last time we spoke, a year or two back, you were doing...
I wasn't out then. I wasn't outed.
You weren't out?
No, no, I wasn't. And it was... I wasn't out.
Oh, where else? Okay, so I can see now that you really got to, I guess, would you say, kick up the butt with this program to really... It must have really given you a lot to work with.
It's a really good program in terms of the way it's structured, and I had a very gifted teacher, Jen Curran, and the way it works, it's you actually get a lot of contact time just to work as a group, and you kind of learn to feed off each other, which is one of the things when people often trash the creative writing workshop, but it's actually this amazing fusing of energy, and I'm always drawn back to this one line in, not line, but... Famously, it's a very big thing to trash the creative writing workshop, but we all have teachers, and famously, Pound took apart The Wasteland, Eliot's The Wasteland, and you can get a copy of what it looked like before Pound went at it, and it's apparently quite something.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of, and it's kind of also a process of learning how you, what you respond to in poetry. So what I was able to sort of find is, oh, what am I reacting to in other people's poetry that that bothers me or that inspires me, and why don't I like that line? And you kind of just sort of internalize a lot of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, poetry clearly is a very solitary pursuit, because ultimately you and the page, you can't avoid that. So I could see how you could go through a whole career as a poet and never do a workshop, never talk to people about it. You don't have to, but if you do, it sounds like it's worthwhile.
Yeah, and I don't think you can get by being a poet without reading a lot of poetry. Mm. And so I had this intensive project where I was going to read a lot and read a lot of poetry, and I have kind of superstitious beliefs about how I read and how I choose what I read. So that was also interesting, because you can get book recommendations, or if you're at Value Village and you see this book that seems to fit, I think you should buy it, because I'm kind of superstitious or OCD or whatever.
Yeah, what comes to you, yeah. I'm like that with this show, actually. Music that comes to me, I tend to play it, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a lot to be said for serendipity.
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm really excited to hear you maybe read a poem, but we'll... actually, we should probably introduce the broad subject matter of your book first, and then maybe get to a live track here to give you time to prepare. So the book is called The Whole and Broken Yellows, Vincent van Gogh Poems and Others by Jennifer Zilm. So basically, this book is divided in two. The first half are poems inspired by the letters of Vincent van Gogh, the great artist. And the second half are more more personal poems about Jennifer and her life and reflections on things. Why Vincent van Gogh, Jennifer?
This is the tricky thing, is that the poems about Van Gogh are more about me anyways. Mm. But, I have this line that says every poem is only about itself. But if I was to say that there are ones that are more autobiographical, I think they are the poems. But I had, I went to Amsterdam in 2012, and it was my last biblical studies conference, and it was the International Society of Biblical Literature, which is a thing, and I was presenting a paper there. And but I had all this stage anxiety and performance anxiety, and so I went to the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, and I had quite a good experience in relation to the four rooms, which are sequenced based on how Van Gogh's life. And so the first section is called Four Rooms in Amsterdam, And then one of these poems was going to be published last spring, and I told my partner about it, and he gave me a copy of Vincent van Gogh's letters to his brother, which contain quite a bit about when he was institutionalized in Saint-Rémy, which was kind of what I found really interesting about his last paintings, when he starts to lose interest in color, as he says, and he focuses on line, which of course is very fun if you're writing poetry. And I was also interested in sort of the therapeutic process and that sort of strange power dynamic. And I had written some poems about Sylvia Plath's psychiatrist, and so it was natural to sort of do a sort of intertextual investigation of Monsieur Peyron and also Dr. Gachet, who are Vincent van Gogh's doctors that he mentions in his letters.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And also I had found out, much to my great joy, that Vincent van Gogh, before he was going to be an artist, had in his head that he was going to be an evangelical preacher, and even started out as such. And, you know, I have an affection for the Gospels, so I thought it was interesting.
That's right. Yeah, he did, didn't he? He pretty much failed at a lot of things, didn't he? I think he tried to be a preacher for a while and didn't work, and then he sulked off and devoted his time to art.
That's kind of what I wanted to, explore in the poems little bit, because I think it's amazingly fascinating to think of sort of how people talk about the Bible, and how even in our culture now, like, people will sort of, this is why, one of the reasons why I wanted to study biblical studies, is because people will put things together, like, because it's this really weird book, and they'll mash things together and be like, X is true and X is true, and it's by synchronizing the source. And I'm like, how, if you were to synchronize sources in a kooky way, how might you do it?
Hmm.
Well, not that it's not kooky, the way some people interpret the Bible, but...
Yeah. Well, it's such a interpreting the Bible is such a contentious thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reception history, as we called it.
Yeah. Well, let's... I'll give you some time to prepare to work out maybe what poem you're going to read out. We'll get into a track here, a musical interlude. So this is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show. And believe it or not, a band that's come through into my inbox in some way is a band called Australia, but with a capital A at the end. The band is called AUSTRALI, capital A. So let's play a track from them. An EP of theirs called The Robot. A track is called Hotter Than Me. This is a band called Australia, here on Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show.
I see. Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come... Listen.
Okay, we're back here on CITR Radio. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show. And that band I just played there is actually called Australia, but with a capital A at the end. And they're self-described here on Bandcamp as an android punk band with an ultra-orthodox attitude. I kind of like them, actually. Not bad. It arrived in my inbox somehow. It's really cool. People discover this show somehow, and I always like it when they reach out, when they, you know, a band just doing their own thing somewhere in Australia finds me and emails me. I always play their music regardless of whether I like it or not, because, you know, all the power to them for putting the effort in. So that could be you. If you feel like if you're an artist somewhere and you're creating music, please let me know. If you're Canadian or Australian or making music in either of those countries, that's my only real mandate, is to stick to that. Please get in touch. The website is ozstrandedradio.com. So Jennifer Zilm has joined us in the studio. She's a local poet here from the city of Vancouver, and she's going to be reading at the Cottage Bistro on Main Street next Tuesday night. And actually, Jennifer, before we go into you reading a poem, there's a whole bunch of people who are reading on the night. Who are some of those people?
Most of them, they're poets who also were in my subgroup at the Writer's Studio. So that's who they are.
Okay.
Some of them, they are all doing really cool different things, like people that are writing very different things, but it's cool because you can sort of see a link in a lot of the writing we've done, like a sort of a thread that might run through.
Yep. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, let's get into a poem. So Jennifer Zilm is going to be reading from her book, The Whole and Broken Yellows, Van Gogh Poems and Stories.
Okay. This poem is called What a Queer Thing Touches, The Therapeutic Notes of Vincent Van Gogh and M. Peyron. 1. Vincent, Epistle to Theo. I prescribed him a portrait. The retinue in his teeny black eyes, the questions he evades with sudden answers, vague and veiled secrets in his mustache. His wife doesn't believe I am ill. If she is willing to sit, I will paint that dusty slash of grass, her faded, insignificant face. Yesterday, I dropped my duplication of the Pieta in oil and have begun to recapture it from memory. Monsieur Peyron is kind, indulgent. He has permitted me this liberty to work, mostly undisturbed, in the makeshift studio edging the sanitarium. When you speak to him, his voice will tell you myriad things. If he is precise, believe none of it. Part 2, M. Peyron, Session Notes on Vincent Van Gogh. I fear the patient, the ginger Dutchman, has too much religion in his brain. He spent a sojourn painting the gray wives of miners and preaching the gospel, yet he refused to learn Latin, so I fear his religion is most uninformed, most delusional. Yesterday, in the midst of his ravings at the easel, he preached a passage he swears is found in the scripture where Christ took his time restoring the sight of a blind man. First he touched and said, "What do you see?" The blind man answered that he saw trees walking like men. Then the Savior dirtied his hands with earwax, spittle, and mud and applied his fingers to the eyes of the half-blind man, just as I am now applying ochre oil to my canvas to reveal the wheat fields. Ochre in his eyes, the now-seeing man saw completely. All this is just to say that one must accustom one's eyes slowly to a different light. Patient reports his only symptoms as this dizziness and the idleness of the south, and that he has recently dropped some portrait of Our Lady into oil. damaging it beyond recognition. One does not expect a madman, however, to recognize his delusions as such. Now, for the weekend, I shall put his religious sickness out of my mind and take my wife to Lourdes.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer Zilm. Reading from the book The Whole and the Broken Yellows. So what can you tell us about the poem you just read?
I was reading the letters of Vincent Van Gogh, and I had been working with sort of an intertextual model and sort of breaking down what he says about his doctor and what he says about his process and what he says about what's going on, because he speaks about this dizziness and he feels like he's getting something from being in South France, like the sort of idleness he calls it. But then he also like has these amazing lines like, and then you saw me at the easel and my face was glowing and you wouldn't even believe it was me. And so he's writing these letters to his brother and he speaks about the man who runs the sanitarium in Saint-Rémy. And then he tells him, if he tells you things and he's precise about it, don't believe it. And I think that's sort of hinting at the sort of complexity that exists around mental health and simplified diagnoses quite often. And then I was trying to imagine in the second part what the doctor might have said about Vincent Van Gogh. And then I kind of invented this sort of passage where Van Gogh's talking about the story of Jesus healing the blind man and likens it to his paintings. Because I've always been interested in the story, because in the very, very, very early story in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus cures the blind man, it doesn't work the first time. And I always thought that was so interesting. And from a biblical studies perspective, it's kind of interesting, this portrait of this figure who becomes so exalted, it's like, oh, he can't even get the healing right. But Van Gogh's sort of justifying it by saying, like, you have to do things slowly if you're going to see things differently. And so that was kind of my impetus. Because all my favorite things are, like, the Gospels and art and craziness and psychiatry, all the best things all together in one.
It pretty much, yeah. I mean, speaking of serendipity before, like this, it almost seems perfect that you found Van Gogh in his letters to write about this, because it does mix up all of your influences, and you work in mental health here in Vancouver. I couldn't help but think when you were talking about, he's seeing the idea of taking things slow, and yet actually his external life was incredibly frantic, wasn't it? What did you make of that, like juxtaposing what he's actually contemplating there, but compared to his actual external life? Or
I don't know, I hadn't really thought about it. I just I read a lot of the end of the book and the beginning of the book, but I think it's what I've found is that Van Gogh himself did these sort of things which almost seemed biblical, like he brought a prostitute he lived with a prostitute for a while and several years, which strangely also is a thing that Hosea did in the Old Testament. You know, like Mary, he seems to have this sort of frenzy about that. And then he has this idea that if he could just have someone to paint with, things might be okay. And Gauguin comes and stays with him. His brother gets Gauguin to come stay with him, and Gauguin can't stand him. Like, Gauguin's going crazy. And one of the beautiful paintings in Amsterdam, in his in Arles, is the painting of this empty chair with a candle in it, which is Gauguin's chair.
Ah, because of course the famous ear cutting off thing happened after a fight with Gauguin, didn't it? They were trying to do stuff together and it didn't work out, and then
maybe I was one of the really interesting things that I was doing when I was like editing this, because I was going over it with the editor at Frog Hollow Press, and I was trying to find a good quote for the opening, because I'm really interested in how people want to diagnose Vincent Van Gogh still. Like, you can still find medical literature where they're like, what was going on with Vincent Van Gogh? And it's all this stuff like, oh, maybe he was bipolar, maybe like everything's been applied. One person has even suggested that he ate his paints and it made him look a little crazy. And it's still And like that's why he had this love of yellow, that it did something to his brain. And that was the quote I found from the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine. And it's just sort of, I thought, funny about how people just really want to pin things down, especially when they don't really can't understand them. And it's like, you know, like, what was wrong with him? Mm. And that was this sort of interesting thing. Like, I find it really interesting that people are willing to just... It just, I think it makes people feel more comfortable to sort of be able to do that. And I guess also it's probably, if you can be like, I've proven that Vincent Van Gogh was X, then...
Well, exactly. And it's like what I said right at the start, how a lot of us in our culture, our brains, our right brains have been hammered by our life. We want to understand and work out what is this, so we find poetry difficult. Same with this. We want to understand why exactly, what neurochemicals happen in his brain to do this. But really, from what I know of him, he was just... had this absolute religious devotion to art. I mean, if he just took it to the extreme. And of course, parts of your life are going to fall apart and you're going to be crazy. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because I have one of the very last pages of his letters was... He speaks about this other doctor who he does paint quite a bit, who's Dr. Gachet, and who is himself, fancies himself kind of an art connoisseur. And, you know, he knows Cézanne and he says all these things. And in, like, the second-to-last page, he's like, you know, this guy is in worse shape than I am. And he says to him, like, he says, I trade places with you any day. And you're like, okay, who's the professional here? You know, like, it's sort of this kind of fuzzy line, I think, also. And, you know, if you, you can sort of, when you work with people, you know, who's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's really tricky to know.
Yeah. Exactly, especially when you're watching the political landscape too and leaders and wondering, yeah, you know, what's going on in their brains that making them do these things, yeah.
Well, but I think that was my interest. But I was interested in his doctors, really. So I think, like, even though the book's split in two, it's really, there's the museum poems, the doctor poems, and then the sort of miscellaneous poems, or the exosomatic materials, as I call them.
Okay.
Which is a term from library science for what we can catalog as a document. It's called exosomatic materials. Anything that is out, you know.
Okay.
Which is a very quirky term, but I thought quite charming also.
There was one other term that jumped out at me that I really wanted to know what it meant. It was in your section, Room 2. What is D-slapkamers?
Oh, yeah, I was trying to actually use some... One of the really interesting things about Amsterdam and about the museum is that it seems to me like the Dutch are the only people, at least as I saw in Amsterdam, that don't seem to mind that English is just taking over. So everything, every sign will be in English and in Dutch, and sometimes the English will even be on top. And So the museum is bilingual, and there are bits of Dutch, which I wanted to sort of weave in to the museum poems as well.
Oh, okay.
And because sometimes I feel this is like what people say with poetry when they say it's, I don't know what that means. And it's like, I find it really interesting when people say, I don't know what that means, so I'm going to shut down. And I'm like, oh, you know, like just say that. Or, oh, I don't know what that means. Maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all right to be bewildered.
Oh, exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah, we need mass training in the populace about how to get in touch with their right brains again, and, you know, it's
mass bewildering.
Mass bewildering. Forced bewildering.
Yeah.
Be okay with being bewildered. Well, thanks, Jennifer. Let's get into a track now, and we'll come back, or maybe we'll find time to read another track. But you did mention before Neil Young. We could play a Neil Young track. In fact, we have one CD here, Psychedelic Pill, his latest release. Of course, it's timely given that Neil Young has been on a wonderful journey this last week across Alberta and Saskatchewan, doing shows that are raising awareness about the dangers of the tar sands. Are you okay with a song called Born in Ontario?
Yeah, I actually lived in Ontario for a while, and I find it really interesting because I've noticed that every time you meet someone from small town Ontario, they always try to tell you they're from the town that Helpless was written about. And sometimes it'll even be like Sudbury, and I'm like, no, Helpless wasn't written about Sudbury, I know that.
Okay, well, this is Neil Young with a song called Born in Ontario from his record Psychedelic Pill. Good on you, Neil, for what you just did this last week. It took enormous courage, and it's good to at least see the debate sparked in the populace about what's going on up in the tar sands. We'll be back with Jennifer Zilm here on Stranded. Here we go. This is Neil Young.
Detroit City, where people work hard and life is gritty. It don't really matter where I am, it's what I do and what I can. This old world has been good to me, so I try to give back and I try to be free. I was born in Ontario. I was born in Ontario. Go wrong, I might pick up a pen and scribble on a page and try to make sense of my inner rage. One cold winter we went down south with Daddy's typewriter for a couple of months, but I was born in Ontario. The black fly bites and the green grass grows. That's where I learned most of what I know, 'cause you don't learn much when you start to get old. I moved on at a tender young age. Mom and Daddy never seemed to stay in any one place for very long. We just kept moving, moving on. But I was born in Ontario.
Repeat after me. Bugger off. Bugger off. Sod. Sod. Bloody. Bloody. Now put them all together. Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Bugger off, you bloody sod.
Okay, you're in. Let's smash things up.
Every Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. Listen to Generation Annihilation on CITR 101.9 FM UBC Radio in Vancouver.
Okay, so we're back here on Stranded and the familiar sounds there of Neil Young with a lovely song there called Born in Ontario, which is perfect to play given that just this week Neil was on a tour across Canada raising awareness of the dangers of the tar sands. And it was very well received, but of course sparked a lot of controversy online and in the mainstream news too. So that was a track there for Jennifer Zilm, who was born in Ontario herself. Is that right?
No, I lived in I studied in Ontario. I did my unfinished doctoral work there. So I lived in Hamilton and then I lived in Toronto.
Ah.
But I actually am pretty BC.
Okay, pretty BC.
Yeah.
You did say just off air that many people in this country were inspired to write because of the great Leonard Cohen, and you're one of those.
Yeah, and when I was really young, and they have there's the poetry section in your local library, and if you're living in Newton, it's going to be people like Leonard Cohen and Irving Layton, the great bombastic Montreal poet who was also Leonard Cohen's mentor. Leonard Cohen actually dedicated, I believe, one of his more recent books to him. He died, I believe, 4 or 5 years ago. But he was this great, bombastic, not what you think of as Canadian at all type person, like really loud, really opinionated. And he wrote some very beautiful poems and some not so beautiful poems. But so Irving Layton was a big one, and Leonard Cohen, and those people.
Hmm. Well, Mum and Dad, if you're listening, my mum and dad for Christmas were sending me a Leonard Cohen, best of Leonard Cohen, the lyrics, like some book about lyrics, and it hasn't come yet. And they had to contact Amazon or somewhere and said, "Hey, my son hasn't got this book." So, Mum and Dad, I'm hoping it's going to come very soon.
I remember reading this when I was a little kid, and when you read these things when you're a kid, you remember them so well. But Leonard Cohen's second book, which was called Spice Box of Earth, which came out, and so was sort of, Leonard Cohen used to always say, Canadians are desperate for a Keats, and it came out, and it didn't win the Governor General's Award, and something really stodgy that no one remembers did, and Layton took them to task for it. He called them out for not recognizing this book. And then subsequently, when Leonard Cohen released his selected poems in the late 60s, they offered him the award and he refused it. He said the poems themselves absolutely forbid it. And then I believe it was Mordecai Rickler, the Montreal novelist, went up to him and said, very bombastic, like very pugilistically, and said, "Why did you say no?" And Leonard Cohen's like, "I don't know." And so Mordecai Rickler didn't punch him in the face.
Thanks. That's an interesting little story. I'll keep that in mind when I'm reading my selected lyrics Leonard Cohen book once it arrives, Mum and Dad. Well, Jennifer, thanks so much for sharing your poems today and chatting. It's been really lovely to have you. And just as a reminder that Jennifer is speaking at a Cottage Bistro next Tuesday night. She'll be reading some poems from The Whole and Broken Yellows, Van Gogh Poems and Others. And I'm sure we'll chat to you again another time. And actually, the promo I just played before their Generation Annihilation, a long-running show here on CRTR, hosted by none other than Jennifer's brother.
Yeah. Punk
Rock Aaron?
Yeah.
Punk Rock Aaron, host of Generation Annihilation on Saturdays. Nice guy. I've met him a few times. And he's playing tonight. His band is playing at Lanaloo's with a whole bunch of other bands. Probably punk, I think, given his
proclivities. Yeah.
His proclivities and love of the genre. That's a good thing. Speaking of punk, DOA are doing a... sounds like their final farewell show, but they've said that a lot of times, in a couple of weeks. So next week we'll play some DOA, or maybe later today. What's happening now is that we're ending our internet broadcast. The sports will be on now, airing a final here, Manitoba versus UBC in the hockey. But we're still live on the dial, CITR 101.9 FM. So if that makes sense. So some of you are disappearing by for now, or if you've already gone, you're probably listening to hockey pucks being slammed as we speak and men being bashed against the boards or whatever they do. This show is more interested in music and poetry. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a song by a band called Bestie, a local band, who are playing for a fundraiser, Atira, which is a great non-profit here in the city doing great work for the underprivileged in regard to housing. They're having a fundraising event on the, I believe it's the 31st. The 31st is it's conjunction with the Better Life Foundation. And a few bands are playing, including Bestie. So let's play for you a track from them, and we'll come back and I'll tell you a bit more about this fundraiser and give away some tickets live on air too. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're still here on Stranded, and I'm playing a band there called Bestie, a local Vancouver band, and they're going to be playing for a fundraiser for ATIRA, Women's Resource Society. They do wonderful work here in the city of Vancouver in social housing, and they're holding a fundraiser on January 31st with a Better Life Foundation as partners. Rika is a band playing, as well as Bestie, the band that we're playing right now. They were both they both did very well on the Peak Performance Project. So anyway, this event is coming up on the 31st, and we're giving away tickets here. If you're interested in going, 604-822-2487. Call through and you can get two free tickets. Easy. So Bestie is playing there, the band that you're hearing in the background, as well as Rika, R-Y-K-K-A. I guess I'll probably play a track from them too after this. So this is for the ATIRA Women's Resource Society, their fundraiser on January 31st. So yeah, let's get back into the music, Bestie. And 604-822-2487 if you'd like tickets to this fundraiser. Okay, so that was a track from Bestie playing at the fundraiser that's occurring on the 31st of January here in Vancouver, held by the ATIRA service, a great non-profit, the ATIRA Women's Resource Society. So Bestie are playing along with Rika, and you can call through to 604-822-2487 to receive two tickets to that fundraiser. So please do, 604-822-2487. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian music and talk show, and I'll be right back.
So sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, sausage, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, sausage.
Press 1 if you are tripping balls. Press 2 if you are planning to trip balls. Press 3, if all the balls have been tripped, yet you find yourself adrift amongst the tubes of the ether, dreaming of tubes amongst spheres that have not yet been you. Pressed 1, you are tripping balls.
Relax. You're not tripping balls. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Take a stand. decision. You drink like you're sad, you drink like you liked it. It's not the only one who wants you to stay.
Know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Come on, baby.
I thought that was Riker.
Of January, and you can go if you'd like 604-822-2487. You can call through to the station, and we'll give you two tickets for that fundraiser. Very good cause on behalf of Atira Women's Resource Centre. So, you're listening to Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show. We have another 10 minutes to go now. And then David Love Jones will be here with African Rhythms. I found a show coming up here in Vancouver with a lot of bands playing. We have six bands, two rooms at the Electric Owl on Main Street next Wednesday. Is Wednesday the 29th of January, so that is next Wednesday. I'm going to play for you at least two of the bands that are playing, hopefully three. Weekend Mattress is one of the groups, a really great punk band. I've seen them play live here in the city. So let's play for you a track from Weekend Mattress, and then I'll see if I can play a couple more tracks from these bands that are playing at the Electric Owl next Wednesday night.
I'm at war with myself, I'm at war with you, I'm at war with everybody. That's why I don't do drugs, because I don't want to be numb. I want to feel the pain, I want the clarity of the challenge, I want to win. I want to kick in the head, I want to tear the throat box out, I want to smash in the lungs, I want to kick in the rib cage, I want to split the spine, and I want to use your phone, make love to your wife, sister, eat your dog, and leave your house with a good cassette.
CITR 101.9 FM. Where there's just a little bit of Kim Fowley in each and every one of us.
No, I don't think so.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. You heard there are three bands that are playing next Wednesday night at the Electric Owl in Vancouver. First up is the punk band Weekend Mattress, a song called My Body. Second is Stork, STORC. Finally, Crystal Skulls. And thanks for Jennifer Zell for coming in. She was our guest today. If you missed the show, if you're just tuning in, I'll whack that interview up on SoundCloud pretty soon. But the best way to link to it is through the blog, AustralianRadio.com. It'll be up in a couple of days, I think. So, really great. Thanks for coming in, Jennifer. Again, she's reading at Cottage Bistro on Tuesday night. Thanks for listening. I'm going to leave you with Bison BC.